Welcome to the Playmakers Talk Show, where CEOs, business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas from world-famous entrepreneurs, business celebrities, and the Playmakers team of experts. You'll hear inspiring stories, playmaking ideas, and that one big thing that launched them on toward success. Get ready for the Playmakers Talk Show. Our host is Steve Klein, a renowned business author, keynote speaker, and master at helping clients reach peak performance through success skills, leadership, sales, time management, customer service, communication skills, and behavior change. He's helped generate quantum leaps for hundreds of companies. Now it's time to meet this week's Playmakers. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Welcome once again to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. And our show is all about CEOs, business owners, and executives who are successful and who have successful businesses. Now, we have two very important guests in the studio today. First is Evelyn Costello. She's CEO of Wipeout Kids Cancer. And Michael Gibbons, he's a former FBI chief of computer investigations. He's also a managing director with Alvarez Marcel. And he's a speaker at the America's Future Series Cybersecurity Summit, which we will talk about later. First, we're going to begin with Evelyn Costello. Evelyn is the CEO of Wipeout Kids Cancer. And Wipeout Kids Cancer is a Dallas-based nonprofit organization dedicated to raising funding and awareness for childhood cancer research. It was founded in 1980, and Wipeout Kids Cancer has raised over $4 million in the crusade against childhood cancer and spent over 30 years funding programs to not only fight childhood cancer, but to also provide hope and support to kids and families battling cancer. Now, Evelyn has a strong track record in leadership positions, including highly successful fundraising roles for several Dallas nonprofit groups. She's held multiple positions with the Junior League of Dallas from 1999 through 2010, where her team exceeded goal and netted more than $1 million. She's been a community volunteer fair chair and research and development chair, where she led a 45-person committee that allocated $1 million and 1,500 volunteers to Dallas community. Evelyn, that's a lot. Welcome.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
Well, as I said, Evelyn is the CEO of Wipeout Kids Cancer, is 30 years old. Why was Wipeout Kids Cancer formed?
Well, thank you so much for having me here. There's nothing that I enjoy more than promoting these families who are battling cancer and being the voice for these families in Dallas-Fort Worth and all across the state of Texas. Wipeout Kids Cancer is 33 years old. It's hard to believe this year. We are 33 years old. We were formed in 1980, as you said. Originally, it was a weekend to wipe out kids' cancer. And it was all the funds that were raised were donated to Children's Medical Center. Dr. George Buchanan, who recently retired 2 years ago, was the amazing man who really put Children's Medical Center's oncology department on the map. And all the money went to Dr. Buchanan, and he used the funds to really help support research and programs for the children at Children's Medical Center. Over the last 30 years, we have grown tremendously. We now support hospitals all across the state of Texas. We've expanded our programming, and we've been very fortunate, thanks to the support of donors in the community, we've been able to expand our support of the doctors looking for a cure for these children.
Well, I'm interested in that because 33 years old, 1980, that wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. Was there not something else for childhood cancer prior to this?
You know, the interesting thing, and we talk about this a lot with childhood cancer, is often when a child is sick, or unfortunately, if a child passes, the families want to memorialize that child. And if you look at other cancer groups and foundations, such as breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer, and you can put a star, you can put an adult, you can put a name with it, Susan G. Komen, Lance Armstrong, Katie Couric, who they go out and they really sort of mobilize the country behind their efforts. And what ends up happening with childhood cancer is it gets very fragmented with lots of different families trying to do something in honor of their children. And so I think over the last 33 years, there has been a surge in this, quote, children's cancer industry to really have larger nonprofits be able to come in and pull the money together. And one of the things we do at Wipeout Kids Cancer is we allow families to honor their child through us, through a specific fund. So we're trying to pull all those efforts together. So really, I think people like Wipeout, companies like Wipeout Kids Cancer have really made a big difference in the fight.
Well, you have an interesting story behind getting involved. tell us how you got involved with Wipeout Kids Cancer.
I do. I have a sweet little 8-year-old boy and his best friend, who happened to be my godson, same age. His name was Michael Malone. And in December of 2009, just 1 week before Christmas, my son Trey and Michael were 4, and they were at the little gym, and it was Parent Observation Day. We had all been there to watch our children, all the somersaults that they had learned over that first semester. And Michael seemed very out of sorts. And by that Friday, he was having difficulty walking. And he went in and they drew blood and we found out Michael had cancer. So he was immediately admitted to the hospital on December 18th, 2009, where he began a 2.5-year battle with stage 4 neuroblastoma, which is a solid tumor cancer. It affects anywhere from 650 to 700 children in our country every year. Stage 4 is not a good diagnosis. He bravely battled it. He fought at Children's Medical Center, at Texas Children's, and at Cook Children's, amazing doctors who joined their forces. And Michael earned his angel wings last June 23rd, just 2 weeks after his 7th birthday. So because of Michael, I came to Wipeout Kids Cancer to fight, and as I said earlier, to be the voice for these families, for the children, for the siblings, for the mothers and the fathers. They are so focused on getting their child the treatment they need that we want to be there to support those families and help provide better treatments.
You know, it's difficult enough for an adult who has cancer to deal with it, both physically and emotionally. It's probably even more difficult. There must be a different way that doctors and helpers work with these children because they really don't understand what's going on.
It is incredibly difficult to understand. It's hard for adults to understand why children go through this. It's a difficult question that we just ask ourselves. Yes, absolutely. You know, I remember the evening that Allison, Michael's mom, sat him down and said, "You have cancer." And she took a balloon and she wrote the cancer on it with a Sharpie. And then she said, we sat there and beat up that balloon and said, "We're going to fight it. We're going to fight it hard." And, you know, everyone knows someone who's been affected by cancer. And I often tell people, think of that person that you know who loses their hair, who has surgeries, who has radiation treatment, who's ill, who doesn't feel good, who's tired. Now picture that person as a child. And it just magnifies the situation.
So your job really is to go out. You're the number one salesperson for Wipeout Kids Cancer to get this, the voice heard. So are you spending a lot of time doing radio shows such as this, interviews to get the word out?
Every time that someone asks me to talk, I will talk. It's all about raising awareness. Very few people hear my story, hear the story of our sweet children, hear the statistics. 1 in every 330 children in America will be diagnosed with cancer. 1 in every 5 will not survive that diagnosis. Number one disease killer of children in our country. Very few people hear those statistics and turn away saying, "I'm not interested in helping." So yes, I am constantly out in the community. It is my privilege and my honor to speak on behalf of these families. At Wipeout Kids Cancer, we have several events, lots of ways for people to get involved and to donate their time, to donate their resources, in-kind donations. We are very proud of the fact that 82 cents of every dollar raised goes towards our mission statement, which is to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. So there's lots of ways to get involved, lots of ways to help support it. And our funds in 2013 went to support Children's Medical Center, Cook Children's in Fort Worth, Texas Children's in Houston, and the Mary Crowley Center here in Dallas just completed their very first pediatric cancer research project, and Wipeout Kids Cancer was part of it.
Well, that's amazing. So the money that you're raising really is going to help these children, but it's also going for research and for facilities to make sure these children are taken care of.
Absolutely. The projects that we funded this year went to support a study on neuroblastoma, and that those funds went in honor of my godson, Michael Malone. We also funded a project for rhabdoblastoma. We supported a project for Ewing sarcoma, which is a bone cancer. So we do support a lot of the research projects. The other thing that we do is we have two programs, which is our ambassador program and our buddy bag program. And currently, the Ambassador Program we have 18 ambassador families from Children's Medical Center. And we are very excited to announce that it looks like we're going to be expanding the ambassador program to include families from Cook Children's in 2014. And then we have our Buddy Bag program, which is a bag of items that helps transition the home to hospital stay. And the Buddy Bag is given out at Children's Medical Center and Cook Children's upon diagnosis and admittance to the hospital.
I want to talk more about that Buddy Bag program. Also, ways that our listeners can help support Wipe Out Kids Cancer with a Run for the Children and a golf class, which are coming up. We will talk about those after the break. We're talking to Evelyn Costello. She is the CEO of Wipe Out Kids Cancer. Stay with us. This is Playmakers Talk Show. We'll be right back.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
Can we talk about colonoscopies for just a minute? Wait. Before you zone out or change the station, just listen to a couple of facts. Fact: when caught early, colon cancer is 90% preventable. Fact: a colonoscopy not only detects cancer, it can prevent it by removing precancerous growths called polyps. Fact: lots of people are so uncomfortable even talking about a colonoscopy that they'll never get one. If you're at risk for colon cancer, a colonoscopy is the best way to find it and fix it. That means if you're 50 or older, or 45 for African Americans, you need to get screened. If you have a family history, you may need to get screened earlier. Okay, thanks for not changing the station. You've actually just thought about colonoscopies for a solid minute. The worst part is over. Now that you have the facts, take charge of your health. In Dallas-Fort Worth, visit NorthTexasGI.com, or in Mesquite, visit TexasGICenter.com.
Executives and managers, if you would like to make 2013 your Quantum Leap year, listen closely, because a free workshop, that's right, a free two-hour peak performance in-house workshop is available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills from this free peak performance workshop will move your people toward a quantum leap this year? Could it be communication skills, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making or problem-solving? How about teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership skills, or customer service? To get your free two-hour in-house peak performance workshop for a minimum of 8 key people and to give your business a quantum leap in 2013, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048. That's 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
Welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We are talking with Evelyn Costello. She's the CEO of Wipe Out Kids Cancer. And for those that like to follow along, it's WOKC.org. WOKC.org, and you can check out everything they have on their website. Just before we went to break, Evelyn was talking about the Buddy Bags. If you go to WOKC.org, you can click on programs, and you'll see Buddy Bags. And I'm looking at these, and these are kind of neat for these kids to get. Mm-hmm. You were talking at the break about how the kids feel about this.
It is really a neat program. Lots of people enjoy working with this program and donating to this program. So what ends up happening 90% of the time is a child has a funny bruise, a low-grade fever, an ache or a pain. They go to the pediatrician draws blood. They can tell it's cancer, but they don't know what type of cancer. They're sent to the ER. Well, as you know, we in Dallas-Fort Worth service a lot of North Texas, a lot of smaller towns and so forth. And so people might be driving in from several hours away. So they come in, they come to Cook Children's, they come to Children's Medical Center, and they're being told, we're going to admit you for 3 to 5 days because we have to do CAT scans and MRIs and bone marrow biopsies. And it takes 3 to 5 days to figure out what the cancer is. And so what we do at Wipe Out Kids Cancer is we provide a buddy bag. It is given directly to the family as they leave the ER or the room where they've been diagnosed, and they go into their oncology room on the oncology floor. And the child life specialist or the social worker meets them there. And it is a bag filled with items that moms and dads of children with cancer told us they needed that night. It has a cafeteria gift card. How many of us run around without money in our wallet? And then all of a sudden you're standing in a hospital and you're like, oh my goodness, I haven't had lunch. I'm starving or I need something to drink. So we have a cafeteria gift card. We have an extra blanket and an extra pillow. We have a hygiene pack. The child is the patient. They're given a toothbrush. They're given the bar soap. They're given, not the parent, but no parent leaves their child in a hospital overnight alone. So there's an extra toothbrush and so forth. It's just items in that bag that help them on that initial stay. And then the bag itself is brightly colored. It's very easy for a child to use. It's on rollers with a handle. And we buy a very high quality duffel bag so that it can be used over and over again. I've often wanted to find someone, an author, a children's author, to write the story of the buddy bag, the trips of a buddy bag. I have a dear friend who is a flight attendant, and she told me helping passengers board a plane in Florida once, she saw a family get on pulling a buddy bag from Wipe Out Kids Cancer. So we've often said, I wonder what about all the trips of a buddy bag?
Where these bags have gone.
Exactly.
If you look at the website, you can see a picture of the buddy bag. It's basically a duffel bag on rollers, and it's good size. There's a lot in there, and you also have a buddy bag wish list. So you're looking for items, hand sanitizer, travel size, both things like that.
Absolutely.
Put in the bags.
Absolutely. If you're interested, we have a lot of Girl Scout troops or youth groups or, clubs and sports teams who like to do things for the community. And if anyone had any interest in that, please visit our website and let us know. We'd love to do a buddy bag drive with you.
Well, buddy bag is one area that Wipe Out Kids Cancer has a need, but a lot of people think when it comes to cancer, they need to donate millions of dollars. But I understand that a small amount of money does make a difference to Wipe Out Kids Cancer.
Absolutely. We give out medical research grants in the amount of $50,000 to $150,000. Being a former banker, I often call us the SBA of medical research. Sometimes these doctors just need the initial amount to gather the data, to pay for the lab, to pay for the equipment, or perhaps to even pay for a therapeutic trial. They just need $50,000 to pay for medicine to put a certain amount of children through a trial, a pharmaceutical trial. A great example is Dr. Scott Murray, who is the head of neuro-oncology at Cook Children's in Fort Worth, 3 years ago asked for $50,000 from Wipe Out Kids Cancer for his trial on medulloblastoma. It's the most common form of brain tumors in children.
Really? That's not a lot of money.
Not a lot of money. And it was going to be a 5-hospital study across Texas and Oklahoma. We gave him the $50,000. Most of it was collecting data over a 2-year period. He called me in March of this year and he said, I have the best news to tell you. Do you remember that $50,000 you gave me? I said, absolutely. And he said, and he did give me reports throughout the process that everything was going on schedule and according to budget. He said, well, we completed that 2-year project. And because of our findings, because of the success, we have just been approved to have a trial from St. Jude's Hospital here at Cook Children's. It will affect hundreds of patients here at Cook Children's. And we have just qualified for $1.2 million in grant money from the state of Texas.
And that's just because of the seed money they got from Wipe Out Kids Cancer.
All because
cancer.
Of the seed money.
So if you have $5, $10, $50, $100, $200, they'll take anything. As a matter of fact, there are some fun ways to get involved with Wipe Out Kids Cancer. The first of those, as a matter of fact, they're pretty close together. First of those is going to be the Run for the Children. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
We love our 5K run. This is a great event. It is very family friendly. It starts with a 1 mile fun run, and then we have our 5K. It is in conjunction with the Town of Addison's Oktoberfest, and we are presented by Tom Thumb. We have amazing donors and sponsors for the event. And we get about 4,000 people out there. We have a huge finish line party in the tent that they use for Oktoberfest. The Town of Addison graciously donates that for our use. We have lots of entertainment for children, magicians, and face painting. And then we have a great band that plays afterwards. And of course, Steve, because it's Oktoberfest, if you are 21 and older, we serve German beer.
That's fantastic. That'll draw me there real quickly, right away.
I can't imagine running a 5K race and then having a pint of beer, but a lot of people do it.
Oh, it's something worth looking forward to. Now, for those that have their calendars in front of them, write this down. This is Saturday, September 21st. This will be at the Addison Circle Drive, which you can't miss in Addison.
Absolutely. And if you are not a runner like me, a great way to still get involved is to be a virtual runner. Go ahead and go online. We do all online registration. And just join up as a virtual runner, and you don't even have to come, but you've made a donation. And I'm very excited to announce we have a new sponsor this year. Delta Airlines has donated 2 round-trip tickets with very, very few, if not any, restrictions. Domestic air, and they've donated 2 of these tickets for a raffle. The raffle tickets are $25 a piece. You can purchase them on our website or on the website to sign up for the run. And again, all the proceeds of the raffle will go to support pediatric cancer research.
And again, the website is WOKC.org, which is Wipe Out Kids Cancer. And there's also major sponsorships available too. If any corporations are out there that would like to add a little bit more money to the cause.
Absolutely. We have some wonderful sponsors, as I said already, Metro PCS, Delta Airlines, Tom Thumb, the Town of Addison. We've got some great sponsors. We have a couple that are still open, ranging anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000, and we'd love to have your support.
Now, there's another event, which is about 2 weeks after that, if you are a golfer, the Golf Classic. That'll be on Monday, October 7th, so put that on your calendar. And how should somebody go about finding out about that also?
Also, you can go to our website, or you're welcome to call our office. This event is in its 11th year. We are very excited to announce Donnie Nelson of the Mavs will be our honorary chair, and it's being hosted out at the Tribute. We've had great success out at the Tribute. They are a wonderful course and very supportive of our cause.
The Tribute's out at the Colony.
Absolutely.
And this is a Monday. It's a way to, again, give money to a charity that we were talking at the break, the only thing that Wipe Out Kids Cancer really is looking for is money. Not that that's the only reason why you're doing it, but just that one simple thing. They need money for the research and these kids.
You know, if Susan G. Komen has showed us anything, 30 years ago, breast cancer was a death sentence. But they have raised billions of dollars to fight breast cancer. And today, it is not a death sentence for women. And unfortunately, yes, Steve, it takes money. It takes money for medical research. I'm not giving out the million-dollar grants at Wipe Out Kids Cancer. We give out the seed money. One of the things you mentioned earlier, too, just if someone wanted to give a little bit of money, we are also very much pushing for recurring donations. You can sign up online at WOKC.org. But if you would like to give a tax-deductible donation of just $25 a month to Wipe Out Kids Cancer, we would love to have more recurring donations.
So this could be set up on a credit card.
Absolutely.
On a month-to-month basis. That's wonderful. Evelyn, thank you very much for being here. It's a wonderful cause, and you obviously are very enthusiastic and very involved with it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your support.
Evelyn Costello, she is the CEO of Wipe Out Kids Cancer. It's WOKC.org. Stay with us. We have another guest, and you want to spend some time listening to Mike Gibbons. He's going to be speaking at a cybersecurity summit in a few weeks. You'll find out more about that after the break. This is PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Be back right after this.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, Hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
People are always talking about the stock market, always looking to invest in a good opportunity, something with the potential to grow. So what if you could invest in the future of kids, like a stock? Not the kind of stock where you invest to make money, but a stock for a social change. A whole new kind of investment called Better Futures. When you invest, it helps students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for everybody. I could be the first college graduate in my family, the first district attorney from my neighborhood. And if I'm the first, then maybe there will be a second and a third. This can really be the start of something. My name is Charles, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. A public service announcement brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Since 1947, there's been a nonprofit sleepaway camp for campers with special needs. It's Camp Summit in Argyle, Texas, a remarkable place for remarkable people. Online at campsummittx.org. This camp is unique in that campers are accepted without regard to the severity of their disability, even allowing campers in wheelchairs to ride horses and fly down a zip line. With a 2-to-1 ratio of campers to counselors, with special 1-to-1 assistance when needed, and with no age limit, campers young and old alike can have memories that last a lifetime. Offering year-round programs, week-long summer and fall camps, and weekend and respite days, and camper safety are always top of mind at Camp Summit, with on-site medical personnel including a registered nurse and physician on call. But to ensure that campers with disabilities can attend Camp Summit, they need your help. You can help Camp Summit by calling 972 472-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900. And you can always find them online at campsummittx.org.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. Our guest for the second segment is Mike Gibbons. Mike is a managing director for Alvarez & Marcel. He works on cyber protection and investigations. His firm provides incident response, forensic investigation, as well as strategic business planning for data protection. They have about 2,100 staff members across the globe and a forensic lab right here in Dallas. Mike was formerly the chief of computer crime investigations for the FBI in Washington, D.C., and he supervised white-collar investigations right here in Dallas from 1995 till 1998. He started the largest healthcare fraud task force in the country here in Dallas in 1995 and is still in place today. He's also been consulting for about 12 years, including building three businesses for three large public firms. Now, Mike also will be participating in the upcoming one-day cybersecurity summit here in Dallas. We're going to talk about that in a few moments, and that's part of the American Future Series on June 27th. It'll be held at the Irby Convention Center. Mike, thank you very much for joining Playmakers Talk Show.
It's great to be here with you, Steve.
Question I have for you to kind of get going, what was it like to run a computer investigation unit for the FBI?
I've had just such a storybook career, but what's interesting is that's a dozen years ago, and the challenges back then, it was still kind of an uphill battle. The internet was kind of a new thing. You know, back when we put the website up for the FBI, for example, in 1995, I worked with the office that was Congressional Affairs and Publicity, and they wanted this thing called a website, you know, and I actually went to school, learned how to write in HTML, and I put the site up. And what was really cool was within 3 weeks of the FBI's website going up open online, we caught a top 10 fugitive down in Central America.
As a result of the website.
Absolutely. A little kid who's just surfing the web saw his neighbor on the website and called the embassy down in Costa Rica. And next thing you know, we've got a top 10 fugitive. But for some reason, they wouldn't give me the statistical accomplishment for writing the website. I was always sore about that.
I can understand that. It really wasn't wasn't that many years ago. I mean, it's hard to imagine that less than 20 years ago, we didn't have that many websites, and it was 1995.
Correct.
That seems almost late for the FBI to put up a website.
Yeah, they had a kind of a shadow website run out on a computer in California at one of the national labs, but it really wasn't officially sanctioned. They didn't sanction it until 1995.
That's amazing. So were you doing... Let me ask you this first before I ask you that question. What is cybersecurity? I mean, that's a term that's thrown around a lot. What really is cybersecurity?
Yeah, cybersecurity can mean the protection, the defensive side, or it can be the offensive side. So the challenge is cybersecurity, you have to have a lot of different disciplines. Obviously, you have to really know information technology, but then you have to know down to the little details how to engineer things so that either, again, you're trying to protect your organization so that sensitive information, personally identifiable information, or sensitive business information, secret plans aren't escaping without your knowledge. And so the challenges with businesses, a lot of businesses, they're really trying to figure out how do we know where sensitive data is and how are we going to protect it. And frankly, in this day and age, it's getting really hard to protect information.
We have so much information ourselves out there. We have credit card numbers that we're using on every site we buy something, occasionally social security numbers. Is there a lot of protection these companies are using, or do they shut the barn door after the horse is out?
You know, the traditional method has been everyone kind of knows they've got to have antivirus and they've got to have now malware detection, because the most dangerous thing you can do in this day and age is open an attachment to an email message. The attachments to email message, what you don't realize is you're authorizing a computer program to run on your computer with your privileges, meaning most people on their home desktops and laptops run as the system administrator, meaning you can turn all the knobs and dials. So if you launch an attachment, that's a big problem. And frankly, what we've seen in the most recent nation-state-sponsored attacks, this means government against other governments or government against business, these attacks aren't attacking the computers, they're attacking the people. So, Steve, if I know you work in a radio show and I know you have an engineer, or I know you have an administrative assistant, or I just know people around you, I can create a fake email address, sign up for a Yahoo account, and send you an email message with a file attached to it that looks like something of interest. And you might even think it's from your coworker or spouse or whatever, believe it or not. And so you open that attachment, and at that point, your computer's infected, and somebody from halfway across the globe can control the dials on your computer.
So they're in.
They're in.
Once that happens.
That's it.
There's also, in what I'm reading about, the fake websites where they clone or mirror a real website. How big a problem is that?
Well, it's probably I can say it's a very significant problem, because people trust that if they type in the name of a website, they're going to the proper company. And then they'll use their password and user ID. And frankly, most of the people I know have one password and user ID. They use it 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 sites. And what that clone site does, it typically, is it will look like the real site to you. You put in your real credentials. They typically capture your credentials, your password and user ID, and then they pass you off to the real site. They're smart enough to know that you probably didn't catch, because how many times do you type in the first time and it actually takes it? I mean, we all mistype our password.
Right, right.
So these sites are so smart, they'll pass you off, and now they've got your credential. Now, they'll start phishing. Maybe you don't participate with, or I should say, you're not a customer of one bank, but you may be of another online bank. So they'll go to all the online banks and try to use that password and ID to get in.
You can tell sometimes on those emails, because it's from a bank that you're not a member of, but I'm willing to bet they're playing the numbers. Just a handful is all it really takes, I would think.
Yeah, and that's called phishing, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's getting more and more known. But the challenge is when people do spear phishing, that's where they attack you personally because of things they know about you, because they know you have money. They know you have money, Steve, so they're going to come after your bank account.
Right, right, exactly. How does this transfer to these major companies? I mean, that's for us individually, and we're obviously susceptible to a lot of different cybersecurity. What type of things do you do for the major companies to help protect them?
Yeah, so the interesting thing is many times it's not just about technology. We've all heard about firewalls and putting strong perimeters in place. Well, actually, that same problem exists in the corporation that where an administrative assistant or an executive opens an attachment, launches it, and then the bad guys are in. I was up on literally on Wall Street a week ago, and a client had a CEO of a company who had received a PDF file. People hear about these portable document formats. So an Adobe file that unfortunately had been, adulterated. The file had hostile code built into it. It looked like a normal PDF file you'd open, and someone sent this CEO an email message that he thought was from an analyst, and the next thing you know, they're inside his corporate company computer, and they're in the middle of million and billion-dollar takeovers. I mean, a multi-billion-dollar takeover. So they call us in, and we come in to try to find out what happened, stop it from happening, identify who's behind it, and that's the kind of work we do.
Do you spend more time going with companies like that after the fact, or are you working with the companies before the fact to make sure that security is in place?
You know, that's a really cool question, because everybody wants to put their tail out when it's on fire. You know, they want to pour the water on it.
Absolutely.
So obviously, it's an entry point for us to be the forensic experts. But frankly, if you can plan ahead of time, you're in a lot better position. If you can actually know who you're going to call and what you're going to do ahead of time, you're in a lot better position, and you'll actually reduce your exposure.
Interesting. We're going to talk more about what Mike has done, some of the stories that he has about that, including a story about The Cuckoo's Egg, which is a New York Times best-selling book, which he was involved with in convictions for cyber espionage in a German federal court. That, and we're going to talk about the cybersecurity summit that's coming up in about a week and a half. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Playmakers Talk Show.
I'm Lars David Staper, general manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Allen's Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
Executives, a free two-hour peak performance workshop is available right now. I'm Steve Klein, host of the 570 KLIF Playmakers Talk Show and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills will move your people toward a quantum leap? Communication, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making, problem-solving, teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership, or customer service. To get your free two-hour peak performance workshop with a minimum of eight key people, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison, then the first thing you should do is call 1-800-222-1222. Poison can be anything you're not supposed to take. Antifreeze, pesticide, the wrong drug by mistake. If you breathed a nasty chemical, been bitten by a snake, call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here for you night or day.
For a poison or drug emergency at home or at work, just call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here 24/7 with the expert help you need, free and confidential. Even if you think it's a false alarm, call
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison and you don't know what to do, call 1-800-222-1222.
The America's Future Series presents the 2013 Cybersecurity Summit on June 27th at the Irving Convention Center. Join keynote speaker, former director of the NSA, Mike McConnell, along with top federal and civilian security experts from the FBI, Secret Service, McAfee, 7-Eleven, Cyber Defense Labs, and more, all discussing aspects of this critical national security issue and benefiting One Irving, InfraGuard, and Heroes on the Water. Sponsored by the Irving Chamber of Commerce, Thompson & Knight Attorneys and Counselors, and Architecting Innovation. Visit irvingchamber.com/cyber for more information and registration.
I'm Corey Mencken with the ASPCA, asking you to join our No Pet Store Puppies campaign and take our pledge not to buy anything at pet stores or on websites that sell puppies. Chances are that the cute puppy in the window or on the internet came from a puppy mill, a large-scale commercial breeding operation where dogs are housed in overcrowded, unsanitary conditions without adequate veterinary care, food, water, or socialization. Help the ASPCA end puppy mill cruelty by taking our pledge at nopetstorepuppies.com.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
We are back. Welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We are speaking with Mike Gibbons. Mike has some great stories to tell about what he does now and his time with the FBI. But I mentioned before the break a book that was written. It was a New York Times bestselling book titled The Cuckoo's Egg, which resulted in 3 convictions for cyber espionage in German federal court, and Mike was involved in that. Tell us about what The Cuckoo's Egg was all about.
Yeah, I don't want, you know, it's interesting because nothing has changed in the last 25 years. The methods that foreign hackers use to get into computers and exploit weaknesses are a lot of the same things today. So why it's an interesting story is it would have gone unnoticed except for the author. His name is Dr. Cliff Stoll. He noticed on a computer that the computer was crashing and he couldn't figure out why, and he worked for this sensitive research lab out in Berkeley, California. And as he started looking at this, he actually was able to see as a system administrator that someone was using an account that it wasn't them, it was a scientist's account, and he was on leave. And they basically were able to trace it back through to Germany and German hackers launching through. Now, this was a little before the World Wide Web, so they had to use long-distance connections through something called TimeNet and Telnet then. So it's basically like a long-distance phone call. So that was why they were able to trace it. Nowadays, in cyberspace with the web, it's even harder to trace, so to speak. But the interesting thing about it was he saw these connections, he saw someone was coming in, and then he noticed that they were going in and searching for words like strategic defense initiative, and they were doing it on Pentagon computers. And he thought there was something wrong with that. So he alerted the Air Force Office of Special Investigations, and OSI saw it coming from overseas, and they said, we're not sure what it is. And they called me over in Alexandria, Virginia, and I had about a year and a half struggle uphill trying to get U.S. attorneys interested, trying to get, you know, my headquarters management and supervisor interested. And what it came down to was there were a group of 4 hackers in Germany were pilfering data out of computers in the Pentagon and then selling it overseas. They were able to go to an unclassified website and search for keywords like strategic defense initiative, and it would come back and say strategic and biological threat assessment for deployment in the Eastern European theater. Seek action officer Captain Tom Smith. And you'd say, yeah, that's an unclassified index, but what's the one thing an intelligence agent who's coming over trying to find out is who has access to classified information. So if you put by name the person that has the access to that classified information up on the website, you're advertising remotely overseas, you know, 1989, 1990. Oh my goodness gracious, you're making intelligence easy. And so nothing's changed now. Now they come over and they steal the plans themselves.
That's absolutely amazing. So how did the name Cuckoo's Egg become the title of the book?
Well, what the hackers had done is they were planting these little seeds of programs that the system administrator would run, and they were taking advantage of flaws in the computer. So a cuckoo bird supposedly puts their egg in the nest of other birds, and so it was a similar kind of metaphor.
Okay. The metaphor is the reason why for the name of the book. Right. Now, you're talking about 1989, 1990,
right,
which is well before any of us ever heard of the World Wide Web or the Internet. How long have you been working with a concept called cybersecurity?
Well, it really came about in 1986. The Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, which is U.S. Title 18, Section 1030, which gives concurrent jurisdiction to the Secret Service and the FBI to investigate cybercrime. They knew back then because they had a lot of long-distance phone fraud back then, and they had people starting to break into computers. They had a gang in Milwaukee called the 414 Gang, area code 414, and they basically were pillaging computers all over the country. So this has been going on that long, believe it or not, and they've amended that statute, and I was able to help participate with the investigation of the Internet worm. The first Internet worm was back in about 1989, and Robert Tappan Morris let a program loose on the country, and really brilliant computer science major, brilliant kid at the time. He just used bad judgment at the time to let this program loose. He knew he was going to break into computers. He knew he was going to steal password files. He said it right in the source code of the computer. But we think that there's something wrong with using, you know, stealing and breaking and things like that. But his computer went rogue, and it knocked all the computers and the internet down for about 3 days. That a little before the time, you know, back in, you know, 89 or 90.
Right.
Nowadays, what happens if the internet goes down for 3 days? What happens if your business can't function for 3 days on the internet? And actually, there are cases now with denial of service where people can come at you, attack you, and knock your business off the internet for hours, if not days.
I've heard it happening, and even for a couple of hours, that could devastate a business.
Absolutely.
Depending on what kind of business it is. It's come a long way. Well, how did you get into the concept of cybersecurity yourself?
Well, so I was just right place, right time. I had run a computer company in Chicago. I was a OEM, original equipment manufacturer, for Sanyo Corporation, and we built point-of-sale systems. So I was running a computer company in Chicago, was building up the business, and then I always wanted to go into law enforcement. It was a family thing. So the FBI grabbed me, brought me in as a special agent. And I was one of the few special agents they had that actually had taken computer science classes as an agent. And so I naturally found myself in the Alexandria field office, quickly found myself in charge of all the computers in the office, and then quickly found myself receiving complaints from other agencies about computer crime with this new law back in 1986.
And it's grown from there.
Absolutely.
Well, we were talking at the break about losses, and you were talking about one company had losses in the billions because of this.
Yeah, if you think about it, there are some companies that manufacture devices, be it computers, you know, whatever type of device. Even companies that have, say, luxury goods. And if the plans for what you manufacture slip out to a competitor or go across to low-cost manufacturing and they don't recognize copyright, or at least, you know, if they with the manufacturing being how it is, it's simple to clone those things if you have the actual plans. And it goes down to the actual settings for the CNC machines to duplicate the actual items in question. So there are companies there that have been intruded upon, their intellectual property stolen, and the next thing you know, they're in competition with themselves from overseas low-cost manufacturing instead of them doing it.
So my question really is why do people use guns and break into stores anymore when they can be hacking into computers? The profit in these crimes can be, as you said, billions.
Yeah, within the last 6 months, there was one case where a group of hackers took $40 million worth of money through fake credit cards in one day.
$40 million.
This doesn't walk in, put a gun in someone's face, and take out $2,000. This was $40 million of an organized group. A lot of them ended up getting caught, but some walked away as well.
That's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Well, these are the type of stories that you also might be able to hear at the Cybersecurity Summit, which is one of the reasons that Mike's on the show. He is one of the speakers on the America's Future Series Cybersecurity Summit, which is going to be in about a week and a half. June 27th, that's a Thursday. It'll be at the Irving Convention Center on Las Colinas Boulevard in Irving. It's going to run from 7 to 15 in the morning till 7 at night. There's a couple different admission prices. You can check on the website, which is the irvingchamber.com/cyber. And you can go there for the luncheon. You can go over the speakers. What do you know about the upcoming summit, Mike? What have you been told? Because you're one of the speakers on the summit.
Right. Well, I was brought into it because, one, I have a love of Texas and love of Dallas, and I love giving back here. I have my nephew, who's my godson, is an emergency room doctor here in Dallas. So I really like the area. And when they approached me, some of my friends who are still in law enforcement, some friends I'm in for guard, and some friends at a couple of companies here, they said, hey, come talk with a bunch of people. And what we're going to do is we're going to have expert speakers in roundtables, that people that have real world experience, and it's a mix of law enforcement and business executives and even military and retired military. So you've got this unique kind of confluence of all the constituencies, and a lot of people really are on the inside of knowing how serious this problem is.
Well, I'm looking at the website now, which you can also find on playmakerstalkshow.com. If you look at Mike Gibbons and scroll down a little bit, you'll see the same thing I'm looking at right now. They have a couple of rear admirals. Mm-hmm. One's retired. We have Homeland Security. This is going to be a pretty extensive summit in terms of what's going on, and my guess is also how to protect yourself, too, if you have a business.
Yeah, and I think that's the real thing. Most of the people just want to know, how much do I have to spend to protect my brand? Brand is at risk now. That's really a challenge. And the one thing I'd say to anyone is, put someone in your company in charge of this issue. Know where your sensitive data is. Know how you're protecting it and what your spend is on it. I can't believe that board-level executives don't have a handle on this problem in this day and age, when it's so significant and can bring the company down.
Yeah, it's amazing that this is going on all the time. I'm just thinking about all the people that work for a company that might have a laptop, and they travel. Every one of those laptops is susceptible. to be broken into.
Absolutely.
And secrets being taken. There's also another agenda. If you take a look at the agenda, you'll see exactly how the day is broken out. And again, it is extensive. The opening remarks begin the morning by retired Admiral Pat Walsh about cybersecurity, cyber education. If you are in business, and if you use a computer, and if you have any kind of sensitive information, and that includes all of us, you definitely need to check out the Cybersecurity Summit. It's IrvingChamber.com/cyber, and that'll be June 27th at the Irving Convention Center, 500 West Las Colinas in Irving. Mike, you spent, you were mentioning about three or four years here in Dallas supervising white-collar investigation. Mm-hmm. What did you do?
Well, we had, I'm just going to say, in the FBI office here, the field division, we were very proud of the amount of convictions we had in Dallas. You might think of white-collar crime happening in the big cities like Los Angeles or New York, but actually Dallas had a significant amount of white-collar crime. And the interesting thing about it was, and it was all kinds of things, Ponzi schemes, real estate fraud, just people duplicating certificates of deposit and selling them as if they came from the bank. You just name it, just all kinds of things. Advanced fee schemes. So basically a whole slew. We had 20 agents working almost full-time on white-collar issues here in Dallas, and I was very proud that we were one of the highest statistical accomplishing offices in the country. So we put a lot of people in jail here in Texas. They didn't mess around.
Too bad we're running out of time. There's a lot of stories that Mike has about his time in the FBI. Again, check out the Cybersecurity Summit at IrvingChamber.com/cyber. This is Playmakers Talk Show. My name is Steve Klein. We'll be back next week. You can also check out our current guests and the archives of past shows at PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Tune in next week. Look forward to having you then.
The America's Future Series presents the 2013 Cybersecurity Summit on June 27th at the Irving Convention Center. Join keynote speaker, former director of the NSA, Mike McConnell, along with top federal and civilian security experts from the FBI, Secret Service, McAfee, 7-Eleven, Cyber Defense Labs, and more, all discussing aspects of this critical national security issue and benefiting One Irving, InfraGuard, and Heroes on the Water. Sponsored by the Irving Chamber of Commerce, Thompson & Knight Attorneys and Counselors, and Architecting Innovation. Visit IrvingChamber.com/cyber for more information and registration.
I'm Corey Mencken with the ASPCA, asking you to join our No Pet Store Puppies campaign and take our pledge not to buy anything at pet stores or on websites that sell puppies. Chances are that the cute puppy in the window or on the internet came from a puppy mill, a large-scale commercial breeding operation where dogs are housed in overcrowded, unsanitary conditions without adequate veterinary care, food, water, or socialization. Help the ASPCA end puppy mill cruelty by taking our pledge at nopetstorepuppies.com.
Since 1947, there's been a nonprofit sleepaway camp for campers with special needs. It's Camp Summit in Argyle, Texas, a remarkable place for remarkable people. Online at campsummittx.org. This camp is unique in that campers are accepted without regard to the severity of their disability, even allowing campers in wheelchairs to ride horses and fly down a zip line. With a 2-to-1 ratio of campers to counselors, with special 1-to-1 assistance when needed, and with no age limit, campers young and old alike can have memories that last a lifetime. Offering year-round programs, week-long summer and fall camps, and weekend and respite days, and camper safety are always top of mind at Camp Summit, with on-site medical personnel, including a registered nurse and physician on call. But to ensure that campers with disabilities can attend Camp Summit, they need your help. You can help Camp Summit by calling 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900. And you can always find them online at campsummittx.org.
Ladies, when was the last time you were happy with your body? If you're like most women, it was before you turned 40. That's because age 40 is when hormonal imbalance starts causing symptoms like hot flashes, sleeplessness, low energy, irritability, and lack of sexual desire. Now we have Ambaren. Ambaren is clinically shown to balance hormones and relieve the uncomfortable symptoms of menopause. Right now, you can receive a guaranteed risk-free trial of Ambaren with a 30-day supply free. Call now at 1-800-921-8040. That's 1-800-921-8040.
KLIF. KLIF Dallas. KSES FM HD2.